Welcome to CurveBeam Connect Cast. My name is Vinti Singh. I am the Vice President of Marketing here at CurveBeam AI. I'm really excited for today's conversation. I am joined with researchers from the University of Arizona who are going to talk about how cone beam CT imaging has been a benefit to their investigations at their research lab. So let's go ahead and get started. Dr. Lee, Trevor, David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. To get started, how about you introduce yourselves to the audience?
My name is Zongmin Li. I'm a professor of orthopedic surgery. I'm also the vice chair for the department and associate director of arthritis center.
Hi, my name is David Jordan. I'm a postdoctoral research associate in the University of Arizona Department of Orthopedic Surgery in the Hand Research Laboratory.
Hello, my name is Trevor Green. I'm the Research Laboratory Manager here at the Hand Research Laboratory at the University of Arizona.
Thank you so much. Can you tell me a little bit about the Hand Research Laboratory? How big is it? What kind of equipment do you have? What do you do?
The Hand Research Laboratory, in particular in orthopedic surgery department, our focus is trying to solve any orthopedic related clinical problem. Currently, we have carpal tunnel syndrome research direction going on. We have been doing this research for the past 20 years. And so the STOM, CMC, joint arthritis. And so in our lab, we have a quite unique lab doing the one of its kind. In our lab, we have all the biomechanics tools and motion analysis, and of course, the CT enrich just in our lab. And we have ultrasound machine. We have two ultrasound machine. And so we have all sorts of force transducer, motion monitoring, and we have the Vicon system, have the portable motion system. And so we have all sorts of force transducers and sensory, hand sensory testing, or also the patient therapy related to tools. Yeah, so that is what we do is hand research, and particularly in bioengineering, methodology, biomechanics.
Well, it sounds like it's a dream facility in some ways with all of the equipment that you have at your disposal to do your various investigation. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the topic of the day is CT imaging. Why did you decide to get an inReach for the lab? How were you getting your CT images prior to that? And what was the need that you saw?
You know, when I was in Cleveland Clinic, your company come to talk about the inReach. I was very attracted. And so you talk about your machine and can be placed anywhere and doesn't need to have that high level technical maintenance. And since that time, I was really determined to have the system. Now I moved to University of Arizona, the first thing. I actually proposed that budget and so allow us to purchase the system. And anytime, and if we want to scan, and in particular, we are doing hand research. So we have a lot of need to look at the structure inside. And even for cadaver or on human subject, big convenience for us. And so I mentioned it's, you can afford this. And so it requires low level of maintenance. Convenient for us, can scan anytime. No waiting, like we without this machine, we use the tool to scan in the clinic city, which for research purpose you have to, because they are the clinical city, they want the in the clinical income is a top priority. We can schedule our the city scan in their specified research time, like early morning and the late afternoon. Or, you know, I'm not sure they can do weekend. But early morning, we usually go to scan. Now with this, we can scan anytime without any cost, right? So because you don't know what's going on and you want to do some pilot testing. So this allow us the flexibility to scan, to take a look at what's going on and what we need to plan in the experiment. The resolution it's high, and the dosage dose of the CT scan is rather low. You know, so like in comparison to the like in your specification, the daily background exposure, and it's lower than that. And there's dose from a coast flight trip, it's way higher than the dosage your machine provided. So that's all the advantage. But one of the biggest advantage I think this one particularly is important. And so we can plan for biomechanics experiment because we can elaborate, we can know the cadaveric specimen in a certain way and can create some jigs. And we can create actually the biomechanics experiment even for human subject. We do the biomechanics experiment and look at the load applied and so say the response of the internal bones. And so that is limited in the standard clinical CT. So we can set up the experiment and the planning and the trial and the test and to do a lot of scanning and figure out what is the right experiment setup. Right? So clinical CT doesn't allow you to kind of try there for this meticulous planning.
Right. You're not having to squeeze everything you want to do between 4 and 6 a.m. You really have a lot of time and flexibility to experiment with different jigs and different tools to apply different forces and pressures to the cadavers and lots of time to do that. So I can see how that would be a benefit rather than having very constricted time slots at the clinical CT scanner.
Yeah.
David, I think in previous conversations we've talked about you actually came from another lab at another institution and you did have to use a clinical CT scanner. Can you talk about the differences in the workflows having the inReach in your lab versus what you had to do before?
Other institution I was at was the University of Pittsburgh where I did my PhD work. And so actually it wasn't a CT. We were doing some MRI, which it's a similar pathway. So it was like Dr. Lee described, we got to, you know, schedule the visit, you know, with a lot of lead time in advance. And you get there and there's a strict window of how much time you have available. And then, you know, if you can do what you need to do in that window, great. If you can't, you have to reschedule again. So it's very inconvenient. And, you know, also the quality control, once you take the scans, you leave that clinical setting, you have to go back and check, something may be wrong. But here, you know, if I take the scan, I can immediately do a quality control. If something's wrong, I can scan again. If it's right, I can move forward. So it's that convenience is really invaluable.
Can you comment on the ease of using the inReach itself? Is it in terms of yourself and your lab mates, how easy is it for you to actually acquire the scans that you need to get?
Oh, it's very easy and very user friendly. When I first got to the lab, one of the lab members who preceded me trained me on the machine, usually just about an hour. And, you know, it takes no time at all. I think one scan is about 24 seconds. And so just the whole process from, you know, preparing a specimen and taking a scan, it's very straightforward and very, very easy.
I can attest to that. Before I came here, I had no experience doing any CT scans at all. And David showed me how to work the machine. It's very simple, very straightforward, extremely easy to use. I wouldn't say an expert, but I became very proficient at using the machine in, like David said, an hour. So it's very easy to use.
That's wonderful. That's awesome to hear. Can you talk about the bulk of the work you're doing right now is mostly cadaver work, right? You have specimens that you're CT. And can you talk about the specimen library that you have and what types of cadaver scans you're hoping to amass in your library?
Right. So currently we've only done scanning on cadavers. So that's something that we're able to do freely without requiring any institutional review board approval. Because if we want to do human subjects, we need that approval first. But yeah, mostly the inventory consists of upper extremity specimens. So right hand, left hand, male, female, all healthy, various age, various sizes. And so, and we take those scans in various different orientations. So they might be, you know, a neutral orientation, or like Dr. Lee mentioned, some sort of load application, and, you know, very versatile the way we can scan these specimens for our different research purposes.
It's very convenient, right? So we have a freezer and two freezers of specimen just next door. If we need to scan some specimen, we just go there to open up and take it to the CT machine and scan, put it back. So that is we have the whole process of cadaverical storage, purchase, and disposal.
So it's all contained and
yeah, all contained in our own lab, yeah, in our own center.
That's awesome. And congratulations, your team did have its first publication using the InReach system earlier this year. That was titled Estimation of Radiographic Joint Space of the Trapezio-Metacarpal Joint with Computed Tomographic Validation. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that study, maybe summarizing it? What was the method and what were the key findings there?
Yeah, David can summarize that.
Dr. Lee mentioned one of the primary research focuses of the lab is trapezometacarpal osteoarthritis, which is a very prevalent problem in society. And so in clinic, one of the main imaging methodologies that they use to sort of diagnose the disorder is X-ray radiography. However, with X-ray, you can only examine a joint in two dimensions, but the joint itself is very, you know, has a very complex structure. So on the other hand, you can use computed tomography, which can more readily analyze that structure, but it's more costly to use in a clinical setting. So with this project, we were kind of looking at the connection between a computed tomographic analysis of the joint and a radiographic analysis of the joint, just on a basic science level, using healthy cadaveric specimens. And so what we found were, you know, we took a collection of cadaveric specimens. We took a CT scan. We can get the three-dimensional reconstruction using the InReach system. We can simulate a radiograph using the post-processing software. And then using some other third-party analytical software, we can calculate the joint space three-dimensionally and two-dimensionally and sort of compare those two values and see how they can correlate from one another.
Yeah, David mentioned that the three-dimensional can get the whole picture of the joint structure. And the clinical, the X-ray, it's a two-dimensional. Also, more importantly, it's dependent on which angle your X-ray you should standardize. Okay, so we just wanted to see what you are seeing in X-ray, to what extent it matches the reality. And so use the CT machine and to like gold standard, right, to look at the 3D joint space. And so we found that the CT machine's true joint space, and so for the X-ray, it can 70-some percent of the joint space you can see by X-ray, right? You cannot see the true joint distance. From that, so the next step we want to do, like David mentioned, we'll have to IRB for any human subject, we not because of the CT, right? So for any human subject, we have to seek IRB approval. So David is set up for the next study using human subject, how their joint is joint space, how the normative data, and we also, our goal is to look at the pathological conditions. So that is immediately the next step.
Thanks for summarizing the study. What I found quite interesting in the study was that you came up with a correction factor based on the CT scans that could be applied to radiographs. So any surgeon in the clinical setting could potentially apply this correction factor of what the true joint space might actually be based on what we observed in these 3D scans, and which is typically obscured in the 2D x-rays. Can you talk about how that could potentially be used in the clinical setting, how that information might be applied?
Yeah, for us, like, so it's not a big deal. So you measure in the CT, but based on the clinical faculty, we get the submit the journal, they value this very much. And because that is what most of people still, even though we have the CT available, so you almost have to have a big center to have the CT equipment. And so for a lot of rural area, the clinic is still relying on the x-ray. So at least we, through this, without the enrich, we're doing the thing, right? So we give them the correction factor, they can still use that. But so standardize the X-ray, the imaging AP view or lateral review, and so give them an option. If they have the CT, they can see what the true joint space is, and use our method to correct it.
So even though every hospital or clinic may not have a CT scanner or inReach, they can still apply the findings that you have discovered into their clinical every day. Where do you go next? I know you talked about the next step for this specific investigation would be to replicate on human subjects, but how about beyond that? Do you plan to look at other joints in the hand? Do you plan to expand this study? Can you talk a little bit about next steps and next directions in this line of research specifically?
The thumb joint arthritis, we certainly have a lot of things to do. That is, we are set to move into that direction. And in terms of the CT or with other copper bones, other joint, there arthritis happening also very often for the intercopper joint, and caused by situation or by soft tissue injury and hand injury. So there are also a lot of arthritis, like they currently they don't know what is the best method. So we plan to do that. We are in the arthritis center. We want to study the hand arthritis, including the finger joint. Actually, the most often joint arthritis occur to the finger, they call it the DIP, this joint, right? So there are a lot of applications the machine can help us to do. So maybe, David, you can talk about your research about carpal tunnel syndrome and look at the joint arthritis relationship.
Yeah, so I guess a new direction would be to not only look at the arthritis in the trapezoid metacarpal joint as like an isolated system, but its connection to other sort of anatomy in the wrist, including the carpal tunnel, because all those, you know, respective structures, they share anatomical connections. So the thought is that, you know, if something's wrong with one structure, it might affect the other one and vice versa. So that's the general idea of where we're looking to go next.
Okay, so being able to expand further into the anatomy and really understand the various relationships there.
So thank you. You mentioned that there, we do hand research. Actually, it's not limited to hand. So we have any scan. The first study we did is the knee. At cadaveric knee, they just isolated the knee joint and put this for scanning and do food. And any things can be fitting there, we can put a scan, right? So we can put on other use, yeah.
Interesting, okay. So that's great to know. So you've actually been able to do some lower extremity investigations as well on the...
Yeah. Your machine actually set up in this way. You can sit down and stick your foot into the scanner. And that is possible to scan. Right? So, yeah.
Well, I'll be looking forward to maybe seeing some of that research as well. Do you think you could quantify how much having the inReach in the lab has accelerated your research? And by that, I mean, if you had to rely on the modalities that were accessible to you in the lab, if you didn't have the inReach, or if you know you had to use the clinical CT and you had to go by the clinical CT schedule availability, do you think you could in any way make an estimation of how much the inReach has sped up how you've been able to make these investigations and how you've been able to come to some determinations and make new findings that maybe would have, say, it took a year when it might have taken 4 years otherwise? Do you have a way that you can maybe do that for us?
And once you have that system, you can speed up your research. And so I would say there is a lot of research we can not do without inReach. And so we can just not afford. And also doesn't have the luxury to refine the experimental protocol. This offers the convenience and the speediness and the feasibility, and so for us to do. We are getting to the human scanning. So that one need a certified physicist, to scan. Right, mm-hmm. So that one, we have our physicians to come to help us, but the physicians, they are busy, right? That create a inconvenience, and so to cadaver study is okay. We can handle, right? For human subject, and so that one needed to figure out. But we are thinking of radiologist or the technician, right? Just on a part-time, but so it would be ideal. So if we have a bigger volume of scanning, but we don't have, we're just our lab. So still just take a couple of hours each week. So we could find those people to help us scanning. Once we get the volume high, we are getting a lot of patients. So we will figure out to have a dedicated radiologist, and so instead of relying on the clinic doctors.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation. It's great to hear how CurveBeam AI systems are literally changing medicine, and in this case, looks like the inReach is helping to provide insights into arthritis in the hand, why it happens, better understanding it so that we can better treat it. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with at the close of this podcast?
Yeah, I think the CurveBeam is making a great contribution to the healthcare system and help the, because everything is getting, right, people are doing cell phone and getting miniature, to get portable, right? You are moving to the right direction. So like make the technology accessible to many, many people, like city. And so it's not that difficult. And so you make this available to many people, like enable us to be able to have a scanner to be installed in our own lab, right? So that is a big, I think, the major contribution. And I think more people, and actually in our department, we are, but that is budget issue. But the lower extremity wanted to have a weight-bearing CT for a long time. Since I purchased this, they want to have that CT machine doing research per se, but doing clinical practice as a tool to do clinical research. Right, the people have also dreamed this, but I have not seen he is able to get this priority, get approved yet.
I'm sure it will happen in the not so distant future, and University of Arizona, I'm sure both on the clinical side and the research side, once you have weight-bearing CT as well, will do really groundbreaking things there as well, just like you're doing for upper extremity research. Really looking forward to seeing what future papers you're publishing and what you're helping to uncover in human medicine. And thank you so much again for your time today and in contributing to the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.